Hey there, welcome to line number 32. I'm not ready. We have a special guest, Tamara. And in this episode, we're going to dive into this lie that we tend to maybe not necessarily say. And I think it kind of interweaves itself with the whole idea that I'm not qualified, but we'll often say that you're not ready to move forward. We feel like we don't have all the resources. We might feel like we don't know enough or have enough experience. And we just tend to shrink back and we go, I'm not ready to do this. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I think sometimes we just put ourselves in the equation and in all the things that we've done and don't have, and we go, I'm not ready. I'm not qualified. Why am I called to do this? Therefore, Tamara's going to come in and she's really going to address this lie. We're going to bring truth to it. We're going to speak truth to it. She shares practical tips, practical examples, so you can even begin to understand, maybe am I saying I'm not ready to do these things? And I love how she begins to kind of walk us through that we are born ready. I love this idea that we are born ready in a sense that God has given us so many gifts very specific to us. And over time, we get to grow in them, mature in them, strengthen them, and use them. And sometimes when we say we're not ready, it's because he's calling us into a place that he knows we're ready for. So hold on to that truth and let's get to the interview. Tamara, I'm so glad that you're here with us today. You're going to be talking about a lie that I actually have not addressed, which is funny because I always think I'm going to run out of lies, right? I'm like, what am I going to say? And you were like, I'm not ready. And I'm like, yes, nobody's brought this to my attention. I don't even know if I have really thought about this too much in my own life, but lies come for all of us, right? In different ways and in different times and different seasons. And so this lie, I'm not ready, is obviously a pinpoint for you. It's a passion point. Mm-hmm. So share with us why you are so just ready and pumped to help women kind of defeat the lie and push through. Why is this important to you?
Yeah, I think it's something that honestly, if you unpack it, even from a personal level, you always have this sense, this underlying sense of, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'm there yet. I don't know if I'm prepared enough. I don't know if I'm worthy enough. I don't know if it's to the place where I feel ready. And I've thought about this when I'm getting married, right, on my wedding day. Oh my gosh, is this happening? Am I ready? Is this the next phase? I thought about it the moment that I was about to, like, my water broke and I was about to meet my son for the first time, and thinking, oh my, I'm not ready. I don't have everything prepared where I need it to be. Or am I ready to even love to the capacity that a mother should love? And then there's, you know, more surface level things such as, I'm not ready for Christmas. I don't have all of the things together. And I feel like, especially around that holiday, people are constantly asking, are you ready? And I'm like, well, it's gonna happen whether I'm ready or not. So I just need to focus in on what matters about the things that ultimately are coming your way. And if you can have your heart set towards the readiness factor, if you can be prepared enough, then regardless of what happens, you need to say yes. You're going to accept it. And you're either going to accept it on palms open, or you're going to accept it like blocking it. And then you're blocking an ultimate blessing, because anything that comes your way, whether you're prepared for it, ready for it or not, it is meant for you, and it's not meant to harm you. It's not to be against you. Like, God has such purpose in the things that come your way, even when they're painful. So there's so many things that we can unpack, and I'm excited to talk more about it because I am really motivated and really passionate about the fact that specifically for the women that I coach in their entrepreneurial journeys, it's constantly something that we have to talk about.
What stands out to you though in your life when you think I'm not ready? Why? I know you hear probably a lot of women say this to you in so many ways.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we say, I got to pray about it, which is really like, I'm not ready. Right. And so, but what does this look like to you on a personal level? Cause I think that often what we want to help women through, we've overcome ourselves.
Yeah, that's
really. So what does that look like to you?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm like a change agent. Like, I love change. I love the next thing, because if I sit in any place too long, I just get antsy. It's just the nature of my being. And I'm always looking, because I'm a visionary, a step ahead. But at the same time, that is a really fearful thing for a lot of people, because they get into their comfort zone and they want to stay there. And so because I have faced it both in an entrepreneurial setting, but also a personal level, like some of the things I mentioned prior to, I am always amazed by the unopening of that package, right? So God gifts you something, I'm not ready for it. You open it, and it's a process, it's a journey. And when you get to the meat of what that readiness factor is, it always blows you away. And to the point where you're excited to receive what's coming next. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's too, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of figurative for people. So, I mean, from a personal perspective of things where I haven't been ready, and it still has been a blessing. And what happens then is I'm distracted, or I'm pulled away from what is intended for me, because I'm worried that I haven't prepared enough. You know, it makes me think actually of the biblical reference of Mary and Martha, and how Mary just sat ready and waiting for Jesus to come visit. And Martha was getting ready. And I'm sure she felt, if she was a homemaker of any sort, which she was, that she didn't have enough prepared for Jesus to come into her home. Like, the crevices weren't clean. She hadn't cleaned the blinds in at least 5 years. Like, all of the different pieces, maybe the charcuterie platter wasn't just right, or the wine wasn't the temperature it was supposed to be. You know, we could unpack all of these things from a hostess perspective. And yet when Jesus came, he said, you don't need to do any of those things. Just come and be with me. And I feel like that's so often our life. And God is just saying, here, I have something for you. You keep blocking it, saying, I'm not ready. And yet I've already prepared you for such a time as this. I've already prepared you for this unopening of the next best thing that I have for you. And even the things that are fearful, even the things that you think you're not ready for or aren't going to be a blessing, end up evolving into incredible things. For me, I feel like when I started unwrapping my childhood from a therapy perspective, I'm about to go deep here. So you're going to get to that question that you asked me earlier. And I'm like, that's hard. This is a very personal perspective of it, is I am presented with an opportunity via therapy alongside my husband in marriage counseling to unpack portions of myself that I have never addressed. One, because I didn't know I needed to. And two, I didn't know how, because communication was never something I was fully able to do as a child, because I wasn't really taught effective communication strategies. So here I am, what, almost 7 years into my relationship, 4 years married. We have 2 kids at this point, and I'm being asked to unopen a gift that I am wanting to block. I'm not ready to go there. I'm not ready to dissect who I am, because I don't know, and I'm fearful of what's to come. What does that mean for our marriage? What if you don't like me? There's always all these underlying things of I'm not ready. Are you not ready because you're afraid you're going to fail? Are you not ready because you're thinking you're going to be unworthy at that point based on what other people's perspectives are? So I'm given this opportunity. I'm unpacking it. I'm reading. I am praying. I'm walking through this season. And it was the most painful season of my life. I ended up uncovering things that I had suppressed about myself and about my childhood so deeply that I was balled up on the floor, right? Like, not able to receive this gift, and thinking, I am not ready to walk out what the next portion of my life looks like, in this all-knowing state of who I am and who I walked alongside this whole time. And that was even my relationship with Jesus, is what I mean by that. I didn't even know that he existed to the capacity that he did until I started to look back and truly sit in those places of brokenness. And so here I am realizing now, 4 years fast forward, that those places that I wasn't ready to go have become the ultimate blessings of my life. My marriage is restored. My self-identity is in a place that I never imagined would be. My confidence in that identity, because it's rooted in Him, is incredible. It launched me into my business that I now have the privilege of, you know, teaching other women these things. And so it's so much more than what you could not be ready for. You probably aren't ready. Let's just deal with that. But know that there's so much goodness even in your lack, because without realizing your lack, those weaknesses, God can't sustain you. You don't have any reason to fall into faith or to fall into trust of what He has through that present.
That's good. You know, you use I'm not ready and readiness kind of interchangeable almost. And it kind of got me thinking that when we say we're not ready, I feel like as though God's saying, well, yes, you are ready, because now I'm revealing a new something to you.
Yeah.
And I think when we get that new revelation, we say that we're not ready, but God knows that we are. And it was kind of this, I'd love for you to go more into this readiness idea. It's not something I even hear too much of just the readiness of it. Can you explain that and give like maybe a practical example of what that would look like?
Definitely. I mean, ultimately, and I hope you've heard this before, but I really believe this with my heart of hearts, that we were born ready. So often, especially in an entrepreneurship perspective, people think that they aren't ready to open a business or launch their business or share their gifting with the world, because they don't have a certification, because they don't have the licensure that they need, because they haven't coached this amount of clients, or because there's some toolkit, some part of their toolkit that they're missing. And they're only trying to find their validation factor from external secular mindsets that will make them ready, because now they're quote unquote qualified, right? And I truly believe that God gave us individual gifts at birth, prior to birth, when He conceived the inception of who we are, in order for us to make this lasting impact in the world only the way that we as individuals could. And so we take all of our life's journey and we put that into what now will be the fundamental element of your business and how you serve people. And whether it's through your empathy because you've walked through hardship, whether it's through a dynamic knowledge of something because you've been in this specific corporate setting for a certain period of time. Basically, I think that we have the resources already. And the only reason that we think we're not ready is because there's underlying other premises of what's to come beyond the saying yes to what He's gifting you. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I like to say is that resources are often what's stopping you. Why don't we analyze what's in your purse and come back to the table with what you already have, and versus talking about what you're lacking? Because that's often where that readiness factor comes. I'll go back to that simple example of Christmas. I'm not ready because I'm lacking all of the presents being wrapped. I'm not ready because I'm lacking what the menu is going to be. I'm not ready because I haven't faced that aunt in so long that I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm not ready because, you know, there's so many things that we can go with that one example, because I know everyone can relate there. But what do you have? How can we talk about and flip the script on what you're lacking and talk about what you do have? And so we unpack our purse, and inside, you know, I'm imagining that Mary Poppins bag, and there's been seasons where purses are really cool if they're tiny, and then purses are really cool if they're huge. And I think regardless of the size of your purse, physically and mentally and spiritually, if you've put in the work, you're ready. If you feel like you haven't put in the work, you're still ready. And so those are kind of the visuals that I like to unpack with women while I'm coaching them. And I've done this concept of coaching really, even when I owned a maternity boutique, and there was moms coming in that phase of, I'm about to have a baby and I don't have all the things for my diaper bag for the going to the hospital thing, right? And realizing you might not have the little you know, hand mitts that go on, or you might not have the perfect nursing bra, or to use it something more relatable to a different gender, maybe it's something about how the nursery is ready or not ready. And I would unpack these concepts with them, even in such a, you know, relaxed shopping state, to say, you whether you have these things or not, whether you find the perfect crib or not, the baby's coming, and that is the blessing. That's the exciting factor. The baby will be fine if he sleeps on your chest for the first 1 month, you know, that he's alive. So I just think it's really important for people to realize what they do have, just like I think it's really important for you to realize what you have accomplished versus what you haven't accomplished. Because we can sit in front of a to-do list all day long and feel like it's never going to end. That's because it's not. It just won't be.
Yeah, no, I totally, I'm a checklist kind of girl. So I'm like, wow, like every day I find new things to put on my list.
Yes. And,
you know, I think you had said something that really probably hit a lot of people, in the sense of when we say I'm not ready, it also means, well, I don't feel qualified to do this. And so we kind of push back a little bit because we started to qualify ourselves into the equation of, you know, I don't have all these resources. I'm not smart enough. I didn't have a seminary degree. Like, that comes for me a lot. You know, like, I'm not going to do this. Like, yeah. Am I really going to be able to speak to these women because I don't have this theological background and I didn't go to college for 4 years and like all this stuff. And I could easily say that I'm not ready, but it really is kind of like smoke and mirrors and very subjective. But yeah. Here's where I want you to address too, is that most of what you're saying is, you know what is coming. So with a baby, you know, okay, I'm not ready, but the baby's coming. Mm-hmm. Christmas. I know that I might not be ready, but I know Christmas is coming. So let's address the idea that you know that you're called to do something. In a sense, I'm called to speak, I'm called to write, I'm called to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
What does that look like though, when you don't know what's coming on the other end?
That's good. That's a great question. I think for me as a visionary, I communicate with God visually. And so when I'm praying, he responds, legitimately responds to me in images. And so even if I don't know how I'm going to get there, I can visualize and see where he wants me to go. Now, that's not the same for everyone. And it wasn't the same when I was unpacking that really scary present of what is the future of my marriage based on my going back to my childhood example that I gave you. And I didn't know that we would be closer than we ever had. I also didn't know that I was going to write a book and tell a lot of people about that really scary, shameful, you know, experience. So I think for people walking into that with, they have that natural tendency to turn to fear and say to God, I'm not ready because I'm scared. And what does God say biblically in that, right? He says to trust him. He says that I'll never take you through something that you can't handle. He says that lean into me because I am your strength through that. And so if we knew, just like if we knew what was going to happen or when we were going to, let's not go too morbid here, but when we were going to die, if we knew that date, how would we then live out our life? Mm-hmm. And should you be living it differently or without knowing, should you be living it now even more abundantly? Because we have no idea. Mm-hmm. And so there's the two perspectives, right? You flip the script on it again and you say, I don't know what's ahead. So let me do this with unabandonedly, like reckless love, that reckless pursuit that God pursues us with. Mm-hmm. Or let me do it in trepidation and never actually get to the end goal, never actually cross the finish line. There is a guy that I love to follow. His name is Ed Milet, and I follow his podcast. You would love it. And he says something, and I've actually heard him say it on stage in person as well. I hope I get it right and do it justice because it's so good. He basically said, he's a man of faith, and he said, when I get to heaven, I had this vision that I was going to have a conversation next to God. And he was going to introduce me to this other version of myself. The guy was going to look just like me. We were going to be at the same stage, the same age. We had done a lot more things. And he's, let's say his name is Ed 2, Ed 1, Ed 2. And he says, I see a lot of, you know, similarities in this guy, but there's something about him that's a little bit different. And he says, well, this is the Ed that lived up to the expectations and the promises and the hopes that, and the vision that I had given him. And this is the Ed, you, Ed One, who missed it. He's more joyful. He's more satisfied. He's more faith-filled. He's more trusting. He's all of the things, all the fruits of the Spirit that God would have us be, because he leaned into me versus leaning into his flesh. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing that and being like, oh gosh, could you imagine that moment? I mean, even just the moment of meeting Jesus and saying, did I do it right? Did I get it right? And we all are aspiring for, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Mm. Like, you've done what I've set out for you to do.
Yeah.
In lieu of, didn't quite hit the mark. Yeah. And that's the fear factor. We don't want to be less than. We don't want to feel unworthy. We don't want to step into an environment that could potentially leave us lonely, which is what that walking through that marriage conversation and years of development went for me. Mm-hmm. So there's so much to unpack in the concept of I'm not ready, but just always going back to, even in when we naturally tend to go to flesh fear, you were born ready. It's innately already in you. He's already planned your future. It's already good because he uses all things for goodness.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we have to be sometimes careful about how we talk about how when we get to heaven, like, God's going to make all these lists of everything we did wrong, because I think that it can really cause us to strive out of our own flesh. We are held accountable to the account that we live on this earth and the things that we do and things that were hidden will be brought to light. But this, it's important that it's not about our works, because it's easily we start to try to earn our salvation.
So good.
And I think that I wanted to address that, is that making sure it's not here on this earth that all of a sudden you're like, I'm not doing what I'm called to do. I better hurry up and start doing it, because he's going to start righting my wrongs in heaven and I'm going to go to hell or something. You're not working out, you know, you're not working for your salvation. You are already saved if you accepted Jesus. And I think that's important to say. And what you were talking about, how God speaks to you. And I think just to encourage the listeners is that to explore with God how he shows you his love, because he shows love differently to everybody, because he knows what each heart needs. And coming from my background of, like, not having really a father figure, he kind of shows me as a little girl at first, walking with him hand in hand and kind of on a cliff. Like, he kind of shows me this relationship with him of how he communicates as father, daughter. And like you said, he shows you visions and pictures and images, and that's how you know that it's him in communicating. And I think that's important in anybody's walk, is to don't be afraid to explore and ask God, like, how do you speak to me? How are you loving on me? And not, how are you loving on Tamara or Jessica, or, you know, all those things, which is really important. So how can we then, like, when somebody comes to you and says, like, Tamara, I am fearful, or I don't know if I'm really ready for all this. Like, I know I'm called to do this, or even losing weight. People, we say we're not ready, you know, anything in those areas, we kind of go there. Do you walk them through, like, a process? Is it more of the emotional side first before we even get into the resources? Or how do you kind of help people get into this readiness state?
So it's kind of twofold, and this is a part of the e-course that I just launched as well. So for people who are interested in kind of coming into the fold of that, maybe on a personal level versus doing it as a group setting or individual coaching, is this concept of journey mapping, which is really what I did through therapy, but in a very elongated process. And so taking that retrospect backwards on where you've been and what your life has come to at this point, and inclusive of the highs and the lows, because remember, he can use all things for good. And we create this silver lining through that journey map, which is ultimately, where's God in this time? And he's with you, right? The silver line should match the highs and lows of your life. And it's the recognition of those things. And so then from those highs and lows, what now is instilled in you so deeply that it's a part of your character? And so I mentioned empathy being one of them. If you had walked through a season of walking alongside your spouse or a loved one through cancer time, whether they passed or whether they're still here, and you can really empathize with people who are walking through or have walked through that season. And so this can be, I mean, again, highs like being a mom, highs like getting married, lows like that time you felt rejected, lows like that shameful moment that you try to hide from the rest of the world, even concepts that are trending lines, which are things like perfectionism, which is something I struggled with as well. And so we look really deeply at your life in that regard. We take all of the things that have now been developed as your passion points, and we put them into what I like to call an empower tree, which is like the empowerment method. And we really take a scope on what you want your life to look like right now and what you would like to look like 5, 10, 20 years from now, again, using that vision ability that we all have innately. And we come up with a word. And that word is like your go-to empowerment word. You hear people talk about their word of the year or their word of their life or whatever that be. And this is the word that you can apply to every version of your life, whether it's your family life, whether it's your personal life, whether it's your workout, nutrition, any of these things, this word applies to you and you alone. And I think that is so special because just like our imprint is completely uniquely ours, this word, though it might be the same as 10 other people, 100 other, 1,000 other people, it's uniquely you because only you have walked that journey map. And now how you imprint that onto somebody else through that word, and it doesn't have to be a business. So please know that I'm not advocating that everyone needs to be an entrepreneur and everyone needs to own a business. Mm-hmm. This could be in your ministry. This could be just within your home. What imprint are you leaving on your spouse? What imprint are you leaving in your neighborhood? Okay. So please don't take that and run with it. You need to go launch a business right now for God to love you. That's not what I mean at all. I'm so grateful, Jessica, that you brought that up. Just that it is not by our works that this life that we've been gifted is a check plus or a check minus, right? Mm-hmm. God sees you just as you are today, just as you were in that moment of shame or that moment of hurt or brokenness or rejection or whatever it was. He sees you always. And so for us to recognize where we are right now based on all of those highs and lows and then put it into action, you're already ready. You have so many tools right now in this very moment as you listen to this podcast. How are you using them in your life to the best of your ability? And again, knowing that your best version today is going to look really different than your best version 10 years from now. And that's just as God would plan for it. That's just as He intended. So be comfortable in the lack of readiness and the readiness, because they're one and the same, whether you want to believe it or not, and just say yes.
I think, you know, the Lord has told me a couple of times, just start dreaming again. Yeah. Because sometimes we kind of get stagnant in the sense of everyday life and maybe, quote unquote, nothing's really happening bad or good. You're just kind of cruising down the stream really easily. Yeah. And just giving women this idea that it is good to dream. He gave us imagination for a reason. And if He has imprinted on your heart, He's going to give you a vision of what that feels like and what it just could look like. And I think another thing that really trips us up is this whole idea that if I hope for the good, what if the bad comes? And that's not hope. Hope is a confident expectation in God that no matter what happens, my hope is in Him. And therefore I can hope for good things no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I just think, just to encourage women too in that, is because we had kind of talked about, well, what if this doesn't happen? And it just got me thinking about how sometimes we're just so afraid to envision a life with God that is beyond what we have right now, thinking we don't deserve it or He doesn't want it, or kind of this idea that the prosperity gospel, in a sense, of has kind of ruined this idea of prosperity and wealth in the kingdom of, you know, it's transactional and it's not, and all these things, and just encouraging women to dream again. So what would you want to leave with women right now about this lie, and just really speak truth into that?
There's so much goodness, and there's so many directions I still even want to take. I think ultimately it's knowing the goodness, and that goodness doesn't always look like the happy, perfect picture Instagram scroll. Okay. His goodness comes in a lot of shapes, sizes, and presence. And they don't always end with a smile, but I do believe that he will utilize that to positively affect the ripple of the kingdom in our world today, just as it did 2,000 years ago, just as it will 2,000 years from now, depending on your perspective of Acts. But it's knowing that somebody is going to smile even from your pain. Mm-hmm. And that's the hope. That's the knowledge of knowing, I want to get through this because I'm hopeful that God's going to use this for somebody else's pleasure, somebody else's goodness. And that's why sharing your testimony is so critical.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's good. So before we get off here, I always like to ask guests a question. What lie has been coming for you? Doesn't have anything to do with today's topic. Doesn't have anything to do. What lie have you maybe been believing, and what truth are you standing on?
Right now for me, I struggle with mom guilt, and I will believe that I'm not a good mom because I'm not present like the Instagram mom. And I am believing that God purposely placed me as their mother to be the change in their lives, to be the change in a generation, to be the change in the understanding of my stewarding them is done differently than the stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. And he loves me just as much for that role as he does for the mom who is beautifully able to be there 100% all the time. Mm.
I love that. It was actually a lie on the podcast, I'm a bad mom. Mm. Michelle Myers talked on that, and I'll link that below. Her. But I think, because I'm not a mom, so I can't speak from that. Yeah. And so I think that it comes for a lot of moms of just this idea of what is motherhood. And I see it a lot, you know, my best friend's a mom, obviously, and just a comparison of, you know, how this person raises. And we see biblical foundational truths, though, of how to raise children. And that is really where it comes down to. So Tamara, thank you for hanging out with me today. Where do you want people to go to find you?
I am actually most present on Facebook, which isn't often the response of a millennial. They're usually on the gram. I'm on the gram, but I'm most active on Facebook. So you can find me at Tamara Lee Andress, and then Tamara.Andress on Instagram if that's your go-to spot. And then I'm on the Fit and Faith podcast, which I'm so pumped to have you on in the coming weeks. So you guys definitely stay tuned because we will unpack another conversation this good. I am so honored to be on yours. And it is great to just know that there are other women who are pursuing sharing the gospel authentically and vulnerably. And you don't need a seminary degree, and you don't need your master's in education or your doctorate. And ultimately, as long as we pray over, and I do often, and we did before this, that the words are his words and that they fall on the ears of somebody who is feeble and willing and able to say yes. And that's ultimately what being ready is. Say yes to him.
P.S. One more thing. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough, then my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, is for you. If you knew what you were worth, would you settle for anything less? It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, your body, relationships, or your finances. You will discover gems to apply in your own life as I take you through my own journey of how I was able to overcome the unthinkable by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but to God. In this book, I really walk you through the how-to of stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain. Find the tools you need to be successful in life. Realize you are beautiful just the way you are. Refuse to settle for anything less than what's God's best for your life. And recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future.